If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey guys.
What?
I had a great time with you guys this weekend.
I had a good time too.
I had a great time with you guys.
I'm totally fried from it.
But, yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty burnt.
I did enjoy the entire thing.
I think everybody thinks we went and partied our asses off.
I know. Everybody asked me that. Everyone's like, oh, you not feel good because you're partied up there. I'm like, yeah, if you consider working from like 8 a.m. all the way till midnight every day.
If you consider lots of gay sex partying, then yeah. No, we were we worked the entire time. First of all, I'd like to say something about Reno. A little shout out to Reno. Vegas's ugly step cousin.
Dirty step
cousin. Yeah,
child.
Dirty step cousin. Yeah, we didn't see much of that. We literally went to the room and stayed in the room the entire time.
Well, locked it down.
The one time we tried to walk outside, your pussy ass was ready to go back in. 15 minutes. It's so cold out here. It's so cold. My
it's
nipples.
Tingly in my balls.
My nipples.
Oh my God.
My hairy nipples.
Was sucking up into my stomach. Wait a minute. I wasn't complaining about my nipples. The rest of me's fine, guys.
You wanted me to hug you.
It's just my nipples. My nipples are freezing.
I trimmed my nipple hair this week. I'm so cold.
It's because I was sick.
I mean, like, friction or what?
Now you're cold, aren't you?
I know. I was talking shit. Now I
you caught my thing, whatever I had.
See, I think you guys slipped away when I wasn't watching and gave each other scabies.
No.
Is that what happened?
No. He already had that.
Okay, fine.
No.
You guys got sick and I didn't.
Well, so here's what happens. We're driving. What is it? A 4-hour drive?
Yeah, about that.
It was probably in my entire life. First of all, I hate driving in cars. I just hate it. It's fucking boring. Can't stand it.
Yeah.
Anything longer than 30 minutes, I'll fall asleep. Anybody who knows me will vouch for this. I do not stay awake in the car. I hate it so bad, I just fall asleep to get it over with. That was the fastest 4-hour drive in my life, both directions.
There was not a lull in conversation, like almost the entire trip.
No, on the way there, we were on fire. Yeah. Poor Doug is in the back. He has arthritis now. He was writing so much shit while we were talking.
Which explains the note picture that you posted on Instagram. By the second day, his
unreadable, unlegible.
His handwriting was literally like fourth grade cursive.
Now he really looks like an eagle. Now he's got the eagle claw hand and everything. Yeah. But he was taking notes in the back.
He used your raptor grip.
It was an explosion of creation. It was creativity all over your face. You know what I'm saying? It was big, hard creativity.
It was just like a all over your splatter face.
Well, let's be honest here.
Creativity right all over.
We
my
took
forehead.
Creativity. And we made it big, and then we put it up inside you, Adam. And you felt it. You felt glowing. That creativity.
This was the first time that
we ran with it.
We have had more than what three hours together that we actually. And normally when we get together, we're covering what events that are coming up or stuff that content that we got to get together. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And a lot of other work that we do is solo. You know, this guy works on this. This guy works on that. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing. Towards the ultimate goal and vision, but we have yet to treat this like a real job or business.
This is the first time that we all collectively sat down and we're like, okay, we're working on this one thing right now. Ready, set, go.
Were you nervous, Doug? Were you nervous at all with that? Because this is the first time getting together to actually work like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I was a bit nervous. And the reason is you guys like to have a good time, right?
Yeah.
Now we're going to Reno. The original idea was to go out into the woods someplace and buckle down. And now we're in Reno. We're staying at a casino.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, we're probably not going to get a whole lot of work done here this week, weekend. Because these guys are just going to egg each other on. And the next thing you know, we're going to be down in the casino. We're going to be drinking. Yeah. We're going to be dancing. The whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when these guys buckled down.
Nightclub DJs.
And got to work, I was very impressed.
Yeah. What was it like? Because you were taking, you were taking a lot of notes, recording a lot of our collaboration. I felt like it was, we talk about the creativity explosion. We were on fire. The time flew. We literally sat in the room for, 10 hours in a row. Nobody moved. And we just wrote shit and processed things and designed things. And I can't go into too much detail because it's a surprise. But... it was crazy. It felt like we were all like our souls were connected. No, it felt pretty amazing. What was it like? I mean, were we just, was it as crazy as I felt like it was?
It was. It was like a ping pong game. Mm-hmm. One of those Chinese ones, though. The ball's going bing, 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 bing.
We were slamming it.
Yeah. It's just going back and forth. And this sounds good.
Well, at one point, we were speaking a different language, right, Doug?
Pretty much.
We were all kind of like going back and forth with all these terms. And
every now and then, like every couple hours or so, we'd get on a really good roll. And the energy would flow, and then all of a sudden, Doug would stand up and be like, "Oh!" And you could just see the energy, and he'd have this idea, and he'd like forget the idea like halfway through to explain what the idea was.
Yeah, write it down.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah,
he was so excited.
It was, and we were able to really collectively access some of our most advanced fitness knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of knowledge that if we were to explain it on the show would bore 99% of you.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But that we love, right? And so we're going over this and we're putting things together and we're really accessing our experience and our knowledge in fitness in such
a
way.
From every angle that we possibly could have thought of. And then there's subtle moments of it and then there's obvious ones.
Dude,
it was
so awesome.
It's just like it makes so much sense. There was this clarity about everything that we were doing that was just like fantastic.
And it wasn't the drugs. It was totally just the normal.
Totally wasn't the heroin.
Yeah, it wasn't any of that.
That would have put me to sleep.
Why do you keep going? Your go-to is the heroin.
I don't know. I just feel like that's my guy.
I feel like one day I'm gonna come here one day and bring you some.
Just,
hey, look what I brought you, bro.
Just heroin.
Oh, I've been saying it all these times.
Can we progress to that, bro? You just go right.
I don't know anything else. What am I going to say?
You go from like drug free to heroin.
I go right to the top. Right to the top.
Whatever happened to crack?
Good old crack. I don't know. I'll start saying morphine. I'm going to go there.
But it was, and then the other thing too is, you know, we were sitting down the whole time while we're talking, and a lot of times we'd stand up because we get so excited, but you don't realize how much energy you put out when you do something like that. Like if you're listening right now and you can think of a time when you just had these explosion of ideas and you had to get it down on paper, you had to get it out, and it was just like a machine gun. Like you couldn't stop it until it stopped itself. You don't feel any fatigue. You don't feel anything until you're done. And then all of a sudden, you're like, holy shit, I'm exhausted.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize how exhausted we were until we were.
God.
Now, when we were driving home, so funny story, we're driving home and there's still leftover energy. So for the first like hour or so, and then finally, like the first bit of silence, and then we played music. We hadn't played music.
Yeah, then
the
we had
time.
Some fun with some music.
Yeah, then we went. I actually played all those
that
tunes.
That actually was really fun.
Yeah.
It was.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, we watched one night, we watched Straight Outta Compton.
That was our only break.
Yeah, so it wasn't a break. It was midnight.
Yeah, it was midnight, so it's like, okay, midnight to 2. Let's go ahead and just chill. We've been going hard all day and getting room service so we don't leave.
Yeah, Saturday we got up by 7 a.m., showered, 8 a.m., breakfast served to the room. Or no, we went and grabbed breakfast, and then we were working from then on out. Midnight, we took our first break to watch Straight Outta Compton. Straight Outta Compton, phenomenal movie.
Oh, great movie.
And of course, got us all fired up.
Pumped up.
Just because those guys in there, they were a part of a movement, whether it was the hip-hop movement, but they were part of that, or gangster rap, I should say. Yeah. They were part of the hip-hop.
We're part movement. Of the gangster fitness movement.
gangster fitness.
But, you know, then I guess...
No, we don't have cred.
Like I felt that. Like that kind of kicked off our whole 90s feel. Like, so we were playing all our 90s music that we liked, and we started with some Dre and some old stuff and transitioned into rock, of course, since that's kind of all of our baby. But rocked out for like the entire way home.
I squeezed.
But everybody was tired.
We were getting down with some gangster rap for quite a while.
We were getting down some stuff. I felt like when I got home too, I was so excited to tell Katrina. I kept telling her because she was this. I was terrible. This is how bad I am. I didn't text her at all until the second day, and she sends me a text like, "Hey, it's okay if you call me." And so I called her and I said, "I'm sorry, honey."
Oh, oops.
She's like, "I know what you're doing, and I know you're working out there. I know you love doing that stuff, and you guys hadn't had a chance to do that." I said, "Yeah, I can't wait to come home and tell you." And I get home and I'm so exhausted. She's like, "So how was it?" I'm like, "Oh, it was good."
Yeah.
I'm so tired. I was like, I didn't feel good.
Same,
I was like, I just gotta go to bed and sleep.
Well, I gotta say this too. By 1 a.m. the first night. So my kids the previous week had this stomach virus that's going around the school. And if you're, you know, kids just get sick all the time, they bring that shit home. So I was like, I hope I don't get it. And I didn't get it until that day, and it must have been because we were working so hard, and then it hit me that night. And then the next day I was sick. And it was, I was feeling shitty, man. I had a fever. I was just feeling crappy, but still I was so energized to do this work. And you guys are so fucking cool. Let me tell you what these guys did. Okay. I'm feeling like shit. These guys go all the way to Whole Foods. Where the fuck did you find a Whole Foods in Reno? Whole Foods, get me probiotics.
Back alley.
Get me some freaking kombucha. Just hook me up, dude. Thanks, bro. Yeah, thanks, guys.
You got your back, son.
Yeah.
And then you gave me the stomach virus.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping me out. No, you can have it, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swap and spit.
Mm, that was a good one.
Yeah.
But it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. Adam ate a lot of sugar. That was one thing that happened.
You found out how...
I have never witnessed in my life...
He loves that candy.
Bro, I have... And I know you don't eat like that ever.
No, no.
But I've never in my life seen anybody eat that level of sugar, like that much in such a short period of time. Like, you smashed like 2 pieces of the cheesecake, and the cheesecake were, that was like, it was probably like a pound of cheesecake. And then you ate a whole package of Red Vines that I bought for you.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And he was making up because we didn't eat like scheduled meals. Yes. There was like one big meal, and then like, and I was like, dude, I gotta just keep eating. This. Well, just grab shit.
I think you just needed brain fuel.
Well, actually, this is kind of a neat, because we haven't spent this much time. Gives you guys. We've talked about this on the radio show, but this is the exact reason why separating meals actually works very well for me. Is it controls me. And even though I don't do it all the time, and I do a lot of fasting and 2 meal days, 3 meals a day, but when I'm on a scheduled routine and I have it weighed and measured and just the right amount of food that I need to intake, and I'm just constantly feeding myself every few hours, I stay in good control. But I'll be the first one to admit, if I got shit in my house that's not good for me, I will fucking eat it. I will eat it. I will eat the chips. I'll eat the candy.
Real candy. Like, you're not into like, oh, I'm going to get that fancy. You're like, I'm going to get, what were those things called? What were those freaking sugar discs?
Oh, the Neckos?
Neckos, yeah, bro.
Well, I go to the
That's like the first candy ever invented.
I revert back to the candy that I had as a kid because I'm not a big candy eater.
And to the, you know, I'll give them some props. It's pretty delicious. Mm-hmm. I did have a couple. They were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sugar discs.
Yeah. Sugar discs.
And you just smashed a little bit of those.
Reminds me of one of those, like, you know, salt licks that cows have, but it was sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it, honestly, and that's advice to some people that are listening right now. I don't know how you set yourself up at your house, but for me, if it's not in your house, I'm good.
That's a big key.
But if it's in the house, I mean, I'm a fitness guy. I mean, this is my life, the shit, that's my profession right now. Yeah. I mean, that's what I do. And even I will completely give in if it's in my home. Like,
but I also think part of it is because none of us did anything fitness over the weekend.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we were not fitness professionals at all over the weekend. No workout, no activity, no
room service for all our meals.
Because we were so focused.
Oh, we were on one though.
Right. Yeah. We were so focused that we just forgot about everything. I didn't even think about anything. Trigger session, nothing. Nobody did anything.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's the extreme of one side of us, and that you gotta have balance. I mean, we're 7 days a week, the fitness gym guys doing that stuff all the time. And you know, I knew we went up to this trip, and for me, the number one focus had to been doing what we were doing, which was ripping out content, putting our minds together, getting our programs all done, and getting that situated. Now, if we would have went up there, I mean, I would have had a great time taking you guys to the gym and working out and doing.
If the goal was just to go hang out.
Yeah, the goal was to do that. Yeah. But, you know, I felt like, you know what? I did not want to do that unless I absolutely needed a break from what we were doing. And, you know, God, we were just, once we got on a roll, I didn't want to stop doing
it. I think it was one point, I don't remember who it was. We had been working and it was like 10 o'clock at night. And I think maybe Doug said something like, hey, if you got, you know what, I'm going to grab this thing here. He was looking up something on the computer for us. If you guys want to take a quick break. And we're like, no. It was like, no, we're not going anywhere. We want to stay right here and keep going. So good times, man. We got to do that again.
Yeah, hopefully more often.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously.
We might
after
die.
We recover.
Yeah.
I was dumb today. I'm not going to lie with my clients. I'm
That's funny. Yeah. It's funny you notice that. I was all over the place today.
Yeah, like it was just like I was saying things and I'm like,
I'm putting words. I mean, I'm already bad enough as it is where I make words up or I just skip them in sentences and I blend them together. I mean, today
you
was
just speed up.
Oh, I had it like three words. Times in class. I just had to stop. I had to apologize. I'm sorry. I'm just not myself today, you guys. So I'm just making shit up as we go here.
Yeah. I was like, you know, searching for like equipment all over the gym. I couldn't find it. And I'm like, I've been here forever. I know where everything is. What the hell's wrong with me?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, no, I was, how was I today?
I was awesome. I
was okay. Yeah. No, I only trained a few clients, and then I went to go work out. My workout was all right, I guess. It was okay. Halfway through, I felt a little better.
Yeah, mine was weak, but I still did it.
You trained today, too?
Yeah.
What'd you hit?
I hit some functional stuff.
Yeah, your favorite. Boom. Your favorite.
So strong. Did you? Is super that the video?
Functional.
Is that the video you posted today of using the mace?
Yeah, I did the mace bell today.
How do you incorporate mace into your training? Mace bell, not mace. Yeah, I like to spray my face with mace and just piss myself up.
Yeah, like there's a couple different moves, and I didn't show the other moves. I'll probably show later, but like. There's a lot of ways that you can incorporate power. You can incorporate it with strength moves. Like I'll do like, you know, total body exercise with it. That's there's an awesome move you can do with total body. You can do it for conditioning. So I was using it kind of a blend of like a complex. I was doing kind of a like a flow pattern that had a bit of conditioning element to it. So I used it for that, and then just basically to get overall range of motion and work just movement wise. Like my whole plan today was to get like good movement in because we were so stationary, seated and then seated in the car. So I was just opening everything up. And so I was using the stick mobility alongside that. And then, you know, the Indian clubs, I was getting nice rotation out of my shoulders. I was getting rotation out of my hips. I was, you know, opening up, you know, the anterior line, everything. So
now,
I feel a lot better.
Normally you wouldn't do that on a MAPS foundational day. You do that on a MAPS mobility day is what you would normally do that on, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah. you mean a trigger session day?
Trigger session.
You know, bro, we have to edit some of that shit. Hold on a second. So for the listeners who don't know what a mace, what's called, is it called just a mace?
Mace bell.
It's a mace bell. Yeah. It's like a barbell, but there's a big round weight on one end and the other end has no weight.
Right. You're right. It almost looks like, it's like a long like a cannonball at the end, but it's a long stick. Yeah. Mm. So you can swing it around and there's specific moves you can do with that. It's kind of like if you're familiar with kettlebells, like they do a move called like a halo. Mm-hmm. And you kind of mimic that with the stick. This is an old technique where you kind of use momentum to where, you know, your limbs are close, but it's really like your core is working overtime to stabilize you as, you know, the pendulum is sort of, and the momentum is building with the exercise.
So. Yeah, mace bells are much older than dumbbells, I believe, right? Mm. They've been around for a long time.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, it was pretty ancient practice.
It's just one of those things, you know. If you're constantly training with, you know, particular types of equipment, even if you modify and change your routine and workouts, your body over the years will get get adapted to the feel of the equipment that you use. And a mace bell, it's like how often do you get a barbell with weight on one side?
Don't you find it kind of funny how? Stuff like this that's so ancient and old, like how fucking solid it is compared to like some of the shit that we see in the Instagram and gyms now. It's like, you know, you'll never see someone do a mace bell, but you'll see someone do a side fucking chest press on the hammer strength machine. You know what I'm saying? Like, it blows my mind how many great movements, great exercises, great tools that were from
it's
way,
like lost.
Way back when. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's been lost in this, all this crap in this bodybuilding
smart
generation.
People. You know, they come back to those things and they give them new life. And the thing that I like about it, too, is it's using the mace bell. It feels like weapons training, you know, on some level, because if you think about swinging around, I mean, it's almost like a bludgeoning tool. I mean, the same thing with the Indian clubs. It's just like it's this movement that is real unique. But like your body is it's very natural. It's a very natural range of motion.
Well, what you got to keep in mind, you know, you brought up, you know, these ancient tools. What you have to keep in mind is the lifestyle and the ideal that existed back then was very different than today. You know, like the lifestyle that a man had in those days required you to be fit. Your life required you to be fit.
Yeah, because you got to pick up heavy shit. You had to go kill big things.
You
had to slaughter big things.
You had to drag
big heavy things.
Exactly. And you know, guys
got your own food, grind it, you know,
that's
prepare it.
And if you weren't fit, you were dead. You know what I mean? You were nothing. So the way they trained reflected that for those people that did train. And then those athletes in those days, because in those days they had athletes. Shit, they had athletes in ancient Greece, obviously the origins of the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
They it was all about function. Now they did, of course, the Greeks in particular definitely idolized a symmetrical type of beauty. But even if you look at their statues, They don't. They look muscular but impressive, but they don't look like bodybuilders.
Right.
They don't have, you know, super tiny waist, wide shoulders, big old, you know, balloon chest. They looked like they could fuck shit up.
Well,
you know,
each one of their muscles contributed. You know, it had a purpose to it.
That's
right. We're not silencing the signal to any muscle. I'm not trying to not develop a muscle because, oh, I don't want to look that way. You know, it was all about developing the entire body to produce, you know,
movement,
maximize all movement
and mm-hmm. and work synergistically, right? Versus
everything's working together to produce, you know, the optimal form of function.
It's this was their life.
Right.
You know, so that's the way they train. And even if you go back not that long ago, I mean, it was a long time ago, but we were talking, you know, ancient Greece. Even if you go back to the strongmen of the, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s, still in those days, you were physical. When you did shit, you had to be physical. You had to be fit just to, you know, live in society. The way that the strongmen trained in those days was reflective of that as well. It was all about function. It was all about what I can do, not how I look. Of course, the side effect of training in order to do more shit was they looked impressive. They looked very impressive. And you got to keep in mind, this was before the advent of protein powder. It was before creatine. It was before, you know, body part splits. It was before the pump. It was before knowing any of the shit. It was, I do this exercise. It makes me stronger here. I'm going to mm-hmm. keep doing this. This exercise, I noticed nothing from it. You know, I'm never going to do that one again. And if you look at some of the strength feats of these strong men from back then, many of these men were 180, 200 pounds. They weren't huge by anybody, you know, by crazy standards. Mm-hmm. But the lifts that they did were ridiculous. Like, I don't know what the exact numbers are, but like Arthur Saxon could bent press like a ridiculous amount of weight. And it's this odd lift that nobody really does today.
Bent and then, yeah, it's almost like, it reminds me of like when they were lifting like a bench overhead with people sitting on it.
Yeah, and you see these old pictures of them doing those examples. Like these were people who were just, you know, solid, you know, muscles made out of cable. You know, they were made out of cable and steel. It had nothing to do with how they looked. The way they looked was a side effect of what they could do.
Exactly. Which is a byproduct.
Awesome. It's a byproduct.
Let's talk about the evolution. What do you think? Why do you think that is? Why do you think we went from that to this extreme where we're at now? Like, what took us here?
Society changed, dude.
Yeah.
It became less, you know,
bigger, first, stronger, faster. I mean, that's my opinion. Like, people wanted to exaggerate, you know, these features. I feel like
shit. Well, even before that, right? So we had this time, okay, back in ancient times, where you trained to perform better. To it wasn't about your body needed to work synergistically. You needed to be strong. You needed to be powerful. You need to be functional. These things were super important to the modern ancient or the ancient man, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have this time and that way of training or taking care of the body was never glamorized. It was something that you needed to do for survival. Well, and it was there for that reason. And then we go for, I don't know what, maybe a few hundred years.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, maybe the 60s, 70s come along, you know, or 50s, you get bodybuilding where it becomes kind of a sport a little bit.
Well, you got to think about it this way. The way you look, the reason why, I'm speaking from a male's perspective, okay? The reason why women find men who are muscular attractive, just from a physical standpoint, is because it represents what they can do. They might not realize it. They're not thinking to themselves, I'm attracted to that muscular guy because he looks like he can lift a lot and defend himself and protect me.
Mm.
They're not thinking that because in today's society, you know, you don't need that.
Right.
They're thinking he looks sexy, but why does she find him sexy or attractive? It's because historically, that meant he could do shit.
Right.
That meant
he
could
dominate. He was a great warrior or, you know,
he was
or
strong.
Something. Yeah.
You know, he could lift shit. He could kill shit. He could protect me.
Right.
And so that was the difference. So when society changed to when it didn't matter anymore, nobody could see what you could do, it just became about how you looked. And then, of course, Hollywood glamorized certain things. You had judges and competitions that would the original bodybuilding, I don't know if you knew this, Adam, but the original bodybuilding shows, they weren't just like flexing. You had to do a strength feat and you did posing. It was both.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later where they, I think it was the 90s, I want to say the 40s maybe were the first bodybuilding shows. If I'm wrong, please forgive me. But it was maybe in the 40s, maybe the 50s where they were most bodybuilding shows then were based upon, you know, how you looked. But before that, but when the original bodybuilding shows, it was about, you know, a strength feat, whether it be a gymnastic feat or lifting something really heavy, or, you know, you're with your partner and you guys are balancing on each other's, you know, hands like gymnasts or whatever. You know, that was what the shows were all about. I got a quote I just pulled up right here. This is one of my favorite quotes of all time, and it was by Socrates. Okay, this is an ancient quote. This is from, you know, probably 400 BC. No man has the right to be an amateur in the matter of physical training. It is a shame for a man to grow old without seeing the beauty and strength of which his body is capable. That's a powerful, powerful quote. But notice what
that
he
hits
says
me
here.
In the loins.
But notice what he says here. It is a shame for a man to grow old without seeing the beauty and strength, not of which how he looks, of which his body is capable.
Right.
It's all about what it could do. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I think, and hey, I hate to say it, guys. You know, I'm not gonna rag on CrossFit right now, but I will say this. They are a direct result of fitness becoming 100% focused on cosmetic. And CrossFit was the backlash. Now, yeah. The way they did it, we disagree with, obviously, the right. way they handle it, but that's a direct result, right? It's all yeah. about they're more about performance.
Right. It was like a revolt from the bodybuilding.
I was
going
to say, you fast forwarded it. You fast forwarded on me right there because I feel like you were starting to talk about the evolution from the 40s, 50s.
You
want to
know where it went?
Yeah. Then from there, we go 40s, 50s. Now we eliminate a strength feat plus the body. Now we're looking just looks. And then we go into the Arnold era, which it becomes this sculpting thing, and it's right. you know, and right. even Arnold talks about it. You know, it's the like an artist. You know, like he's putting on pieces of muscle on his body like clay. And
it became about how you looked.
Yes. Yeah.
Now the thing about the training back then, I will say this though, the bodybuilders in those days, a lot of them worked out together.
Well, this is where I'm getting. It's still. We still have some great movements. Yeah. We still got some great
still strength focus.
There is. There's some great compound lifting.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the king bodybuilder at the time, and many who trained at that time, all trained specifically for function and strength for cycles of time. And they said it contributed they said it contributed the way their bodies looked. Mm. But there was also a component of their pride in the fact that they could do shit. Franco Colombo, who was Arnold Schwarzenegger's training partner for the longest time, you know, he was his main training partner. Franco Colombo is known for being one of the strongest bodybuilders of all time. Mm-hmm. That's what he was really known for. Most people who know Franco Colombo, a lot of them don't even know he won Mr. Olympia, I think, once or twice. They know him because, Franco, yeah, he's the guy that was stronger than Arnold, that was really small, but he could deadlift the car and all that kind of shit. So it went from there, but then it started to... You know, and I think part of it has to do with, the performance-enhancing drugs that entered the fray and allowed people to build big muscles without having to challenge their bodies in the same way that they did in the past.
Right.
I think that's part of it.
Because they chemically manipulated their body.
Yes.
In order to produce a different look. And at first, it was trying to mirror that look of what, you know, the Arnold era. They were like really kind of promoting, although I'm sure, mm-hmm. you know, that was slowly creeping in at that point. But then it really got exaggerated once science sort of evolved and people started understanding more, you know, hormonally what they could do to manipulate the process. And then therefore the training somewhat, I think, has been less of a priority at that point, right?
Training, if you take you take a bunch of pro bodybuilders' routines and a bunch of pro physique athletes' routines, put them up on the freaking on the wall, mix them up, you would look at them all and be like, they all look the fucking same. Really, there's no different concept. There's no different. The training has not become a priority anymore. It's I got to train, I got to lift and get a good pump, mm-hmm. and then I got to watch my diet.
Right.
There's it's not about, you know, there's no major difference because. Basically because they're just worried about
either that or they take one single concept that's popular and they throw it in there and they decide that this is the, you know, the and that's either intensity, you know, they're gonna it's intense like through the roof, or you know, like your FST, your fascia, getting into fascia training and stuff like that. You know, they'll take one gimmick that's out there and they'll integrate it into a regular body body part split.
I think that's a great point, because even you mentioned CrossFit. I think that was one component that people had strayed from for a long time, the intensity and the compound lifts that really were exhaustive. And they took it to that level where let's combine the most exhaustive way to train and then add conditioning and then add all these things at once.
At the same time.
So you just beat the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
You see bodybuilders in the gym sort of, they're there all day and they're just, you know, getting through their pump and sitting down.
Well, look,
through their pump. Everything in the machines are all based on sitting down.
Yeah. We got to be very clear here. Okay. It's not said enough, but muscles that are too big, even if they're strong, take away from function. Okay. So when bodybuilders got fucking massive, when you've got guys that are 270 pounds in the gym, it's better for him to do small, isolated pumping movements because he or she can't do the other big movements too often because they get hurt. Shit breaks, shit rips.
Right.
Take a big pro bodybuilder, I take a lot of them, have him run down the street, he'll pull something or she'll hurt something, or they lose a lot of function because of that immense size. Now, people don't want to even look like that anyway.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't really want to look that. Most people want to look really muscular, but also want to be able to perform.
Well, it becomes a priority, right? It's like, I just want to look a certain way, so therefore the Smith machine makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Right? No. And I'll just, you know, increase my volume at that point.
Right.
And then I don't have to worry so much about the impact that, you know, the weight is going to apply to my joints and everything, because I've probably compromised, you know, my tissue.
And incidentally, you know, here's the thing too. Incidentally, if you want to look a particular way and you really don't give a shit about performance, and you're, especially if you're natural or you're for the average person, you're better off not training that way either. I mean, let's be honest. You're also better off focusing some of your training on some of the functionality or taking the concepts of things we talk about, like frequency of training and, you know, targeting particular muscles.
Everybody is. I mean, even myself, who I'm Mr. Bodybuilder guy and say that, all I care about is how I look, and I know I press that issue a lot, but you also will find me in the gym with Justin on Fridays a lot doing functional movements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't talk a lot about it because, you know, I'm geared and focused more on aesthetics, but does not mean for 1 minute that I neglect the importance of that a lot of these guys do. And that's so important.
It's actually reflecting in your physique a lot now too.
Well, it's so important. It's important for functionality. I mean, at the end of the day, like, yeah, I joke, like I said, about all I care about is doing that way. But no, let's be honest. If I looked amazing, but I couldn't fucking walk or jog down the street and I couldn't do anything, I mean, that'd be pretty worthless. But for me, my main focus is always aesthetic, but I need to still be able to do those things. And, you know, learning to listen to your body and learning how to incorporate that into a routine. So even if you are, you know, an aesthetic driven person, if you're neglecting routines that are performance driven or functionality driven, you're silly. You're missing out. You're missing out on growth and development in your physique, even if it's not your main focus.
Or just exercises that you're lacking.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not doing overhead presses with a barbell standing properly,
right.
You know, if you're not doing, let's stick on that. Let's talk about that for a second. I don't see very many people doing standing.
Nobody does
barbell shoulder presses.
I'm the only fucker in my gym that does it.
Everybody does it seated.
Yeah.
And they go down to 90 degrees. You know, they bring their elbows out wide, they go to 90. You don't see very many people bring the bar all the way down to the upper chest, press it up properly like an Olympic lifter would, with the head coming forward.
So you're not teaching your body to properly stabilize overhead weight.
Right.
Overhead load.
Right.
Right.
So when are you going to lift something over your head when you're
sitting?
Signal
away from your body.
Exactly.
So you're not going to be able to recruit to stabilize it. So you're gonna have the guys in there with the weight belt for everything they do, because you are going to be compromised because of the way the pattern of your training. You know, like I feel like people like they stray away from that fact that it's in the training, it's what you're doing that, oh my god, well that hurts my back. Yeah, it's because you're not incorporating that into your program.
You're funny you said that. Adam, you told a story about how you used to shoulder press.
Yeah. No, I was.
And you couldn't do it standing because it hurt your back, and it was all about how you did it.
It's a perfect example right here. So, because all of our certifications that we got as kids or young men growing up through the fitness industry, all would recommend that you train your clients to where they come to 90 degrees.
Yeah, where the elbows bend at 90 degrees. Yeah, right, that, when you do shoulder press.
So, I mean, so I know there's people listening right now, and if you're a trainer, I'm sure you've seen this in some of your certifications to this day. So just like all of you guys, I'm looking at this going like, okay, this is proper form and technique, and this is how I train my clients. So I train that way. But in all reality, the reason why the certification has put it in there is because the certification knows that probably, well, not probably, for sure, 80% of your clientele is a middle-aged man or woman that's out of shape and deconditioned.
Yeah, deconditioned,
and they can't take a weight all the way down and all the way up like that. So then we just continue to perpetuate the problem by shortening their range of motion up at 50 degrees. So I taught myself that way. That's how I would train. And then when I got smart and realized how silly that was and like, oh my God, I'm not training this correctly. And I'd do standing overhead presses, or even if I did seated, I would bring it all the way down to my chest and up, and I'd feel this crazy stress in my low back. But that's also too because I had not trained my body on how to properly press that way. When I get a weight all the way over my head, I wasn't bringing my head forward as I press and elevate over.
You weren't getting scapular retraction.
No, I wasn't retracting the scapula. What I was doing was I was looking up at the bar as I pressed it, because it was the natural thing to do. As you press, you look up as you're pressing over your head. But for safety and for proper form and technique, that's not how you do it. So it took me a long time before I figured.
No, that's a great point too. You know, when you're doing shoulder presses, a lot, if you feel like you can't get your arm real straight up above your head, a lot of times it has nothing to do with the shoulder. It has everything to do with your scapula, not retracting back.
You need to work on that. You need to work on your range of motion to properly get in good positioning so you can get your body under the weight.
Yeah, if you're listening right now and you've been working out for a while and you don't have a major shoulder injury and you're thinking, oh, I can't go all the way down, that hurts my shoulder, you've got a muscle imbalance. And it's all because you haven't gone all the way down. And what you need to do is get really lightweight and start training in that real good full range of motion. Find a way to move within it properly the way we're discussing. Maybe go online, look up how to do proper Olympic overhead press. It makes a huge difference.
Well, you got to check your ego at the door too. Because let me tell you, being somebody who could shoulder press two plates, on a freaking either Smith machine or on a 90 degree bench, at 90 degrees, and that's all you go to. When I do a standing over, I had to start with two 10s. Oh, and a 45, what I'm saying? Literally like 65, 75 pounds. I was pressing, going from 225 pounds, dropping all the way down because I was not used to that at all. So,
and it's, I mean, I'm going through this whole process right now too with one of my clients that she was very focused on, physique. And she went up to the on stage to do bikini, to do all that kind of stuff. And just what they taught her as far as limiting her range of motion, I'm working my way through all that stuff. And just the disconnect between the upper body, the torso, the lower body, there's no communication between all three of those. Like it's all separated. And now if you keep doing that, you're not going to have proper communication when you're actually doing something functional. When you're grabbing a box and lifting it overhead to put it up, like you're going to hurt yourself.
Well, let's real quick define functional. We hear that term thrown around all the time, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? I mean, to me, when I've explained that to clients,
it's being capable.
Right. What I say to them is the strength gains and performance gains that you get in the gym translate to the real world.
Right.
Rather than a lot of people get stronger in the gym and they barely notice anything in the real world, or they hurt themselves doing some mundane task. Like I know guys who could bench press 300 pounds, do all this crazy stuff, and they'll go, lift the box, twist to put it up somewhere, and oh, I threw my back out.
Yep.
Like, wait a minute, you threw your back out? You freaking work out every day. How'd that happen? You lifted a 50-pound box. That should be no problem.
Right.
That's dysfunctional. Functional is my performance in the gym means I increase my performance outside the
Walking
gym.
Walking around stiff with no fluidity, but it's just like it's so obvious to me how you train based on how you walk, how you stand, and how you sit.
Mm.
I could tell you right away how you train.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of stuff that your basic movements, and especially in your body part splits that people do, bodybuilder world, is not functional because you stay in one plane all the time.
That's it.
You know, say one plane. The body does not move in just one plane.
You know what? Something you said too, Adam, over the weekend that I found that I've never really thought of, which is one of the reasons why I love hanging out with you guys when we get a chance, is I learn things from you guys all the time. You were talking about how you did you called it a staggered stance. It wasn't a complete staggered stance. It was it was like a partial stagger stance or 1 foot behind. Mm-hmm. When you're doing just your traditional basic exercises like a dumbbell curl or, you know, tricep press down and whatnot, and you alternate which foot was in front, which foot was back. And you had explained to me that it was to work on your balance and stability rather than always having your feet together. Made so much fucking sense. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Made so much sense to me.
Oh, I've taught all my clients that now for years. And I couldn't even tell you where I first got it from. But I remember I used to have a challenge with getting my clients to do like a basic simple movement, like a straight bar curl. And just getting them to hold still, to not arch their back. I mean, and I'm talking about really bad people. So obviously some people see it. You can teach them. It's a very basic movement. Mm-hmm. But you guys remember those clients that, you know, just they just have no mind-muscle connection.
Well, if you think about it, it helps already immediately by staggering the stance with the lower back arch.
Yes.
Right?
It helps with the lower back arch. It automatically activates the core because the core now has to stabilize yourself in that single stance.
So so you're sending a signal, you're firing, you're engaged.
Yep. So yeah. it was kind of a trick for me to get my clients into good posture. Mm-hmm. And then I've always just done it too, where if someone's very dominant on one side or the other, like so, you guys can all practice this at home right now. When you can stand on one leg, lift one leg up. And the side that you probably just did that on is probably the dominant side, the more natural. Now do that on the other side and see how stable you are. And most people have a really hard time standing for 15 or 30 seconds.
Or
on their,
fall forward and see which leg comes first.
Exactly, right. That's how you figure out your dominant one. So if you take a step forward, which one, or if you get pushed off a ledge or whatever, or if a small step or whatever, you'll see which one steps forward. But the non-dominant one, I would put that my clients always with that foot forward. So if it's really in balance and they have a hard time balancing on that one leg, that would be something that they would just know. They knew that anytime they trained with me, anything we did standing that was a basic movement like a lateral raise, a bicep curl, overhead dumbbell shoulder press, anything, I split stance.
Yeah, because correct me if I'm interpreting this wrong, but the way I'm interpreting it is, the best way to use that would be for your standing, kind of like you're standing single joint type movements. Because if I'm doing, obviously, if I'm squatting, doing deadlift, stuff like that, you want your feet together, you want to drive through the floor, you want to generate your power there. That's functional in that particular position. But you're talking about like curls, side laterals.
Yeah, pretty much any. I mean, I really incorporate it for sure, any single joint movements, 100%. And then I really, if I'm not trying to generate a lot of power and stuff, if I'm working more hypertrophy phase, if I'm in that phase where I'm repping out 12, 15 reps, you know, if I'm doing, like you said, if I'm doing an overhead press with, you know, with a straight bar and I'm, you know, trying to push some weight over my head, well, then obviously I'm going to get in a standard stance so I can generate the most power to get over my head. But if I was just pressing some dumbbells over my head real light, I would even do that, or a lateral raise or anything like that. I would put it in and go into split stance, but definitely all bicep curl, tricep stuff, all that work. If I can work on your posture, I can work on a little bit of core at the same time I'm moving this simple, because I mean, we know that touching the biceps and triceps is such a small movement that unfortunately a lot of people spend so much time on doing in the gym. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it, I'm going to make some use out of it for sure.
Getting back to like when we're talking about what is functional, like if you also think about, and Adam sort of mentioned like just being in one plane and then versus like multiple planes. So there's a lot, like there's, as far as loading is concerned too. So you mentioned like the barbell squat and like having both feet down. You know, as far as loading too with a barbell, right? We know the benefit of that because it's in a symmetrical fashion. We're spreading the load throughout the body. We're getting the whole body involved. But there's also like unilateral loading and something that's a little more asymmetrical. So that
where you like hold a dumbbell or something on one shoulder.
Right. Yeah. So that tends to mimic real life situations, in my opinion. You know, even more because. You just don't have that sort of balance when it comes to load. And then weight shifts. So if you grab something that like it's like a sack of potatoes or it's, you know, it's something really heavy and it can move and shift. You know, you have to be able to react properly. Otherwise, that's another way that like potentially there could be injuries.
Right. So that really the bulk of your strength comes from where you're pushing heavy weight and it's balanced. It has to be balanced because it's heavy. So you got a barbell, lots of weight. Bulk of your strength is going to come from, gains are going to come from that. But to integrate that strength into a way which your body can now translate that strength into multiple planes,
yes,
you incorporate some of this unilateral off-balance kind of stuff. And this is where you can combine them to produce maximum strength that's also functional. Because again, if you just did the unilateral stuff, you wouldn't get the benefit of the maximal strength from the heavy, big balance stuff.
Right.
But if you incorporate them together and you put it in a good program or programming, now you've got yourself.
So I have a funny, nerdy fitness guy thing to admit that I do. Every time I go get dog food over at Petco, and I pick up two.
You taste it?
I do. See how it is. For the dogs, I pick up their two bags. I don't know. They're probably, 30, 40, 50-pound bags. I don't know. They're the big bags, whatever those weigh. I have no idea.
Have you even eaten those milk bones before?
No,
Have you ever eaten?
I know people that have.
I totally have.
Wait, what?
Oh, it was awful.
Wait, why did you eat a milk bone?
I don't know.
Some college, of course.
One of those things.
Get drunk.
Dude, there's a lot of those weird things you eat just because, like, you got, like,
oh, I ate dog
the
food.
Boys are, like, hyping you. Yeah. Yeah, like, one time, one of my good friends, we got him to eat this like huge praying mantis. Like he chomped the head off and then just ate it, and its like legs were like sticking off. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. I was like, and this huge like thorax and
God, that's disgusting.
Yeah, we were all wanting to yak.
Adam, what did you do with the dogs, the bags of dog food?
I get my unilateral training. I actually throw both bags over one side. And I always get people that laugh at me or like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Because, of course, they have carts in there that you could throw the carts in. But I always choose to go all the way back to the store, go grab my dog food, and then I'll stand there and I'll wait in line while I'm holding
on. You know what, dude? I do the same. Yeah. I do shit like that all the time. You know what I'll do?
Yeah.
I'll get like heavy objects that I would need to wrap my arms around to lift, but I'll grip them with one hand and see how long I can hold.
Yeah.
Walk with them holding with one hand and then switch.
Every
the other.
Time I go to Costco, I just throw everything on me somehow and try and balance my way up to the house. I just don't like to go back. I was like, I could get more.
No, multiple trips are for pussies. That's true.
Exactly.
Well, I saw I saw a funny meme that was a picture of like a guy like taking his groceries. And I know every one of you have done this when you get to the groceries and you like want one trip. That's it. So you're like holding on to like 16 bags.
This
is the main reason
why. My teeth and everything.
That's the main reason why I got angry when they banned plastic bags, because you could carry
carry
1,000 plastic bags full of groceries. Paper bags you can't, they rip. Before it was like, fuck yeah, I'll go ahead,
which
I'll
I know everyone of us, that's happened to us too one time. How many times have you tried to anyway still with paper bags and the handle rips off?
carry
like eight of them,
and the watermelons and all the apples are rolling down my driveway. Shit,
get the red vines. Please subscribe to Mind Pump and leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.